It's September 20th. Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, Kimberly.
Just freaking out about healthcare.
I know, but I love the sweet voices we started out with. It's like, hey, if you're just tuning in, this isn't how we really are.
Yeah, I know.
I know. Happy, the healthcare happy thing, man.
Wednesday. I know. It's really, I mean, you know, Charles Pierce did an Esquire piece called "The Republicans Aren't Even Pretending This Is About Healthcare Anymore." They're just straight up, fuck you people. Go ahead and die. We don't care. We hate Obama.
Yeah, we have a deadline, and we need a win.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry your child has a terminal illness, but you've reached your cap.
Yeah, really. Oh, I mean, you know, why is it also that North Korea and healthcare, which are my two most vulnerable topics, usually kind of go together? Yesterday, Bob asked me if I had heard the latest or whatever. I don't remember. And then he mentioned that it was about North Korea, and I was too busy freaking out about healthcare. And I'm like, right. No, I haven't heard the latest. But
that's that's an odd question to ask. Like, if you said a year ago to somebody, let's say if you said 2 years ago to somebody, have you heard the latest? It would be like, oh my God, there was a 7.1 magnitude earthquake in Mexico City. Yeah. And so far, you know, 250 people are dead. Yeah. But no, it's, there's Trump called Kim Jong-un Rocket Man.
I know.
In front of the UN.
Oh my God.
Said that we were going to wipe him out. Okay. That was all televised and broadcast. Okay, so where's the latest there? Oh, wait, there's Hurricane Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And the other latest is what? I mean,
there's like 35 latests.
Paul Manafort had his front door lock picked.
And then they banged on his bedroom door.
There's so many latests. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I always have bombshell
news reports. That's like, we need a new term.
I know, that's what Rachel Maddow was talking about that, and she said that around 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time is what they refer to as Russia o'clock.
Yeah.
And it's true. Every day there's like some breaking news about Russia around 4 o'clock Eastern. No, I'm sorry. It's 4 o'clock Eastern. 4 o'clock Pacific.
Pacific,
because it's 7 o'clock Eastern. That's what it is. I get so confused with the time differences.
I know. I feel like I'm going so crazy with all of this stuff that, like, I literally sat down with a cup of coffee and looked my husband in the eye and I said, I think, and this is kind of crazy. So you can laugh. I think this is God or the higher power or the world, whatever it is that looks down on us, because I believe that. They're saying something. You know what? You idiots shouldn't have elected Trump. And so I'm going to have 5 hurricanes. I'm going to go through letters H to M in the span of 2 weeks, because fuck you for not being aware of what was going to happen with this guy. He's out there throwing people's lives around. You know, we're going to annihilate you. We're going to wipe your country out. We're going to use, you know, whatever military forces we have to here in this country to get it done. That's not for you to decide in a speech, dumb shit.
Yeah. And then General Kelly's just got his head in his face. Clearly upset. You know, I have to get my thoughts together because I get so angry when I think about Trump. And, you know, watching the news, like, sometimes I feel so excited and up, and other times I feel down. Right now I feel down because I'm scared. And I understand that there is a certain amount of fatigue out there. But there's also, and fortunately, we can talk about this in a second, but Jimmy Kimmel really, really did do a wonderful service to the entire country by talking about this. Because there is a lack of, you know, calls coming in to senators urging them to vote no. There certainly is not as much, at least up until today, there was not as much of a flurry of activity, you know, on and offline regarding saving healthcare. And I understand that people feel like, oh, we don't have it left in it. But, you know, look at the suffragists. Who did they just give up because men did shitty things to them? No, they kept going until they got the right to vote. And, you know, we are literally in a war, whether you want to look in this, like, there's a war going on in the United States. There's a civil war with Republicans and everyone else. And then, you know, then there's the war that Russia has waged on us. And it's very difficult. It's hard. Wars suck because there are casualties. Now, if you want to consider, there's not necessarily a casualty with the online war, the cyber war, but there's a certain amount of casualties if people, I mean, I guess you could, I'm trying to say that when people give up, in a way, to me, that's a casualty of this war.
Yes.
When they stop trying to fight. And look, we've got these Republicans who are hell-bent on destroying healthcare because Obama, and to just throw your hands up in the air, I don't understand why people are so quick to get fatigued. This is, we're in it for the long haul. It's not going to happen overnight. This is what pisses me off about liberals.
Yeah.
They need to find their fucking backbone.
It's like fair weather, you know. Well, you know, I've got that dinner with so and so, so I'm not going to be able to go to the march. You know, I can't make those calls to the six undecided senators on Graham Cassidy because I got to, you know, I
called last time and I got, and you know,
I can't cancel it because I put my name on the list and it was $20 and, you know, I can't make those calls. It's ridiculous. Okay. We talked about this last time, Kimberly, and we've agreed that a woman's right to choose healthcare as a right, not a privilege. These are things that we're willing to throw down. I'm willing to put my life on the line for these things. And I will. I'm willing to lose my perfect orthodonture that I have worked many, many years to keep intact. I don't give a shit. This is life or death. And when you talk about the cyber war not necessarily creating casualties, I believe, though, and follow me on this. So Russia knows what they're doing. These are, you know, Putin is a trained KGB spy, yeah, whatever, you know, he knows how to get under a person's skin. And in this case, the person is Donald Trump. And then, like, collectively, the person that is the country of America, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So he gets in here, he buys some Facebook ads in rubles, mm-hmm, which is another lovely topic that I'm sure we'll get to before this conversation is over. And they start dividing Americans on Facebook. Yeah. You know, now there are factions. Now it was Republicans and Democrats. First, it was Bernie bros and Hillary supporters. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's within our own party. Then it's Republicans and Democrats. Now it's white supremacists inside that Republican group. And then it's okay to go to a rally and punch a woman in the face who, mm-hmm, is opposing your white supremacist ways. Or mow her down with a car. And so I think all of this, you know, this very calculated Russian invasion. And I still believe that, you know, the 75,000 votes, I think it went far beyond just an online shebang.
Yeah.
I think they got into some of the voting machines had to have been hacked.
I do too.
All he needed was 75,000, and that's what he got.
Yeah.
Come on. That's too perfect.
I know.
He thought he was going to lose. They didn't even know it was going to work until the night of the election. It's crazy. So casualties, people being mowed down by cars, people getting beaten to within an inch of their life. That's all been made okay because Russia got in there with their, you know, their cyber attack on the morons of this country. And now we're left with, we live in a place where kids in the city of Berkeley are told, little kids, and this is a direct, not quote, but a story from a friend of mine who has brown children in a classroom in Berkeley where white kids said, Donald Trump does not like you, to 5-year-olds. That's what's happened. That's where this is our country now.
Yeah, I mean, and thing that, you know, I want, you know, I'm not usually very good at, for some reason, organizing some kind of online protest or whatever. I don't know. I think I have a curse. I try. People just don't want to do it. So whatever. I attempted this, and the people who initially said that they were going to help didn't help. So I've given up on it. And I know. And well, this is what I wanted to do. I've got a few friends who have some high profile Facebook page. I'm sorry, high profile Twitter accounts, and they get retweeted a lot. So I put it out there. What I wanted to do was to politely target Bernie Sanders because he's the number one most popular politician in America, and ask him to talk about voter integrity, specifically because a foreign nation has come over to our country and they're influencing elections. If nothing else, they're just influencing. But yeah, give me a break. I know they change. I don't have to wait for the report to come out to know that machines were hacked and votes were switched. But right. Beyond that, let's just, for the sake of argument, let's just say that didn't happen. We need in this country to feel like our elections are secure or nobody's going to even bother to vote. That whole argument, both sides are the same, or what's my vote doesn't matter. That is what Putin wants. He wants people to feel as if their vote doesn't count. And mm-hmm. I think it's extremely important for people like Bernie Sanders, and not just Bernie Sanders, but, you know, for instance, like Gavin Newsom, I would love for him because he was on Bill Maher a couple of weeks ago talking about how the Russia investigation or the, you know, Russian meddling doesn't poll well. And mm-hmm. Bill Maher countered that. Well, you know how the Republicans deal with that. They make it poll well. Right, and he's absolutely right. I mean, mm-hmm. I understood what, you know, Gavin was explaining that we have to talk about this and that and this and that, but we have to make this a big deal. Yes. And if liberals can't deal with it, then figure out a way to wake them up, to slap them across the face and wake them up to this. And mm-hmm. one way we can do it is really stressing, I think the Democrats should be the party to really be focusing on secure elections and paper ballots. And Bernie specifically, I don't necessarily think he's ever going to come out with that because he benefited from it. And it makes, you know, I mean, the more I read about him, the more pissed off I'm getting. I do appreciate his attempt at single payer, because even though it's not going to go through, it takes us a notch closer to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm appreciative of that. But his behavior, in my opinion, I don't support him at all anymore. I mean, I only support him in that, if he happens to be our nominee in 2020, I will vote for him. But it certainly won't be with the same kind of enthusiasm that I once had for him.
Here's why I would vote for him. Because I never Republicans. Want to see. Yes, that's it. We have to recover.
But it's not it's not out of like, all right, Bernie.
I liked Bernie. There was a period there, and I know you were a Bernie supporter initially and then switched over with gusto. But you came around and you ended up being with gusto, mm-hmm. you know, supporting Hillary.
Well, and I always knew that I was going to support her. It wasn't like, I'm not, you know, I wanted him to win the primary. But when he didn't win the primary, I got over myself.
Yeah,
And then I did. I completely supported
her. Because you're sane. Bernie, I love a lot of what Bernie stands for, and I love a lot of what Bernie has brought to the forefront and stuff that we're discussing now is, you know, single payer, free college, you know, all sorts of, you know, a living wage across the country for people, you know, just really important stuff. All of it. But now I feel like, okay, Bernie, it's time for you missed your opportunity to, what did Hillary say about him? Look, if you're not going to jump on the bandwagon and help us achieve what we need to achieve as a group, then go away.
Yeah.
And so I kind of feel like him bringing single payer, I was torn. At first I was a little pissed. It's like, why are you, is it like, look at me, look what I'm doing now. I need this adulation. And I thought he was maybe taking our eye off the ball, you know, and meanwhile, these bastards are trying to push Graham Cassidy through. But I've had a moment to digest it. And I do love him for bringing that to the forefront because it's so important to so many people, you know? And so I'm torn, but I want Bernie to just chill, do his job as a senator.
Well, he's going to run in 2020. I mean, that's just the bottom line. He's going to run, and it'll just depend on who else runs. And, you know, and then on top of it, we're going to have to deal with Russian interference. We're still going to be dealing with the bots and whatever. I mean, I don't know if you're following Rachel Maddow, you know that Facebook has been asked about the Russian meddling and the meddling for some time. Yeah. And they've denied knowing anything. All of a sudden now, oh, well, it's coming out this and it's coming out that and it's coming out. Yeah, we did this and we did. So I'm hoping that by the time the primaries come around for next year in the midterms, or what? No, not the primaries, just the midterms, midterm election season, that some of this has been taken care of. I certainly doubt that it's all going to be taken care of. We're still going to be dealing with fake information and fake news and all of that. But I hope that there is, you know, God, by the time 2020 rolls around, I really hope that there's been some kind of an effort to stop the chaotic. I mean, he's trying to create chaos, and he's doing a great job. He's doing an absolutely fantastic job. And here's an example. There was a guy that I was friends with on Facebook for quite a while, and I never met him in person or anything like that, but I knew him. And you know, in fact, there was a time my mother and I were trying to push the Virgin Diaries. We had just come out with our book, The Virgin Diaries, and Rush Limbaugh was calling Sandra Flick a slut and going crazy. Yeah. So I asked this guy if he would pretend that like he's a Republican and email Rush Limbaugh and tell him about this horrible book that, you know, this mother and daughter put out. So hopefully he would bag on us. I wanted him to pick on us so that we could like get the book out there. So he did. And he was really cool. And occasionally I would see him on Facebook ranting and raving about, you know, like whenever you see any story about racism, he would just immediately, he was kind of like a little OCD about it, and he would freak out, and we would attack, what's his name? The actor Mel Gibson, and he's always going off on Mel Gibson. Anyway, so he was a full-on hardcore Bernie supporter, and obviously he was glad that I was at the time. So then obviously I switched over to Hillary, and in the general, and I don't remember exactly what happened. Oh, I know, it was after the election, Trump was installed, I like to say, and he posted something that I can't remember exactly what it was, but it upset me, or it made me, you know, it made me want to comment, and I did, and I think it was about Rachel Maddow, and he was such a jerk to me about it. So we had a few back and forths, and then I noticed he blocked me. And so then he blocked me on Twitter. Then all of a sudden Bob, you know, Bob Seska, who writes for Salon, is getting, this guy's coming over and you know, saying shit on his Patreon page, on his blog page. He's calling him Lance Armstrong, and he's calling me Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I don't know why he thinks that's funny to call me. I don't even, because I've never liked Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I've always talked shit about her. So it's like, and Bob is a bicyclist, so or a cyclist, I should say. And so I don't know why he thinks it's funny to call him Lance Armstrong.
It's stupid.
It's totally stupid. So anyway, there's been like a couple of months since all this happened. Bob, you know, kicked him off the Patreon page, blocked him from whatever else he's been writing on. And just today I was alerted by Bob that he's back and trolling his Salon articles. It's like, oh my God. And this is like a Bernie person. And this is what pisses me off. And this is a real guy. This isn't a bot. You know what I mean? This is a real guy. And there's so many of them out there. And look, if somebody out there is a Bernie supporter, that's fine. I'm not going to give you shit for it. I'm never going to give you shit for it. I may, like, if somebody comes on my page and they start talking about how much they love Jill Stein, it's like, no, goodbye. I'm not letting you promote that horrible person who blocked me on Twitter.
Who does?
But I mean, Jesus. You know, I understand that everybody's going to have their own view, and you know, we're pretty much all in this together. So I get it if you like Bernie, and I'm not going to, you know, but I'm going to say shit when I feel it. And if Bernie's pissing me off, I'm going to say something. And I know that there's all these like delicate Bernie people out there that, God, don't say anything. Party unity. It's like, oh, where was your party unity fucking back in the primaries?
That's it. You know, you said we're all in this together. Well, that's what you think. That's what I think. But they don't think that. Many of them went and voted for Trump.
Yeah.
I want to know that number, by the way. Is there a number on that?
Yeah, I think there is, and I don't remember what it is, but it's I think it's like, God, how many was it? 8,000? It's more than 8,000. 80,000? I can't remember.
Oh, well, there you go. Figure that one out.
8,000? I don't remember the exact number, but it was enough.
Well, it's too many. It was enough to do damage. One is too many.
It was too... But let's switch this up. Let's talk about Paul Manafort.
Ew. And then can I say some breaking news that I just got?
Yes.
This just came through on my phone. New York Times. The Russia Inquiry's special counsel has sought a range of records that suggest President Trump. Oh, I hate, you know, I don't like saying those words together. That suggest Donald's actions in office are under scrutiny.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. God, he makes me so angry.
Look how happy we are.
See, these are the kinds of things that make me happy when I'm freaking out.
This is
about
what you call mania.
Yeah, this is.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about Manafort.
So, you know, it's so cool in that pre-dawn raid. Obviously, I was just joking with Bob the other night that it always makes me think of Radon Chong. Radon Chong and pre-dawn raid. So, you know, as Rachel pointed out, which I love, Mueller had to go to a judge and convince the judge that Manafort was so likely to shred evidence that they didn't even have time to knock. They had to pick the lock in the middle of the night and scare the shit out of him. And then they took pictures of his suits. Oh my God, that's so awesome. And they got
a warrant on a storage shed too.
Oh, I didn't.
And you know those bitches were running over there, you know, like knocking that door down.
God, I wonder what
was
in the storage
shed. Say.
Yeah, and then they got the warrants on Facebook, so they're able to find that. But I think with Manafort, I'm really wondering. I mean, this is just something that's kind of like I'm spitballing off the top of my head, and I don't know. But obviously, Manafort came into the campaign, and I'm just wondering if. Because I don't know what was happening in Trump's campaign prior to Manafort coming in. I'm wondering if Manafort is really like the main Russian, I don't know, like when he came in, he was able to get Trump to do certain things. I don't know what Trump was doing before that. So I'm just going to say with Manafort, it was like, you know, obviously Trump had been working with the Russian mafia for years. Mm-hmm. And I think at that time they, you know, had accumulated all kinds of compromat. And so I'm just wondering, like, how did Manafort come into the picture? Was it a Russian who said, hey, you need to bbring Manafort in? And I would guess that was the deal. And so Manafort comes in and Trump's just paying the Russians back for everything that they've done for him by letting Manafort come in, because evidently the relationship between Manafort and Trump was not very warm and fuzzy. And so it looks to me like, you know, obviously he's been treated, as Rachel pointed out, differently than a lot of the other ones because of the raid and all of this stuff. They really have their eye on him.
Well, and they've had their eye on him for years.
Right. So now, and it's like, I just wonder if he's, if like Manafort is the, and the word just keeps escaping me, but like the center of all of it, like the eye of the hurricane for the Russian investigation.
I think Manafort came in with his extensive experience working in Russia and Ukraine and, you know, Trump getting these little mob deals done, but wanting so much more. And the Russians said, hey, we'll get this mofo installed as your president. Okay, Paul. You make this happen.
Yeah.
And then who does, and then, so I think, yes, what we call that the linchpin. What is that?
Yeah, yeah.
Was he, yeah. And so he's the conduit.
Yes,
how's
exactly.
That?
That's
okay,
exactly.
Okay, thank
it.
You. Woo! And then the conduit fingers, you like my choice of words, Mike Pence.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, and you know.
Uh-huh.
That Pence is dirty, and we've talked about it.
Yeah.
But now, if if Manafort picked Pence, we know that bitch is filthy.
Right.
We know it.
Right. Absolutely.
I that know. Makes me happy.
And then it just, but it's like, I wonder though how it's going to happen. Like, let's just say Mueller is able to pull this through, you know, in the first term, which I think he will during the first term. So what does that mean? Like, if they find out that Pence is guilty, then he's automatically the next president. If Trump steps down or is impeached or whatever, there's got to be some kind of, do they just say bypass both of you and go straight to Paul Ryan? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, if Pence is dirty, that's what it would be. But then here's a theory, and I can't remember who. Oh, yeah, a friend of mine floated this past me. My friend of mine who's Alameda for impeachment. Whoop, little shout out. She said,
I know her. She follows me.
Oh, yeah. They're the bomb. They are badasses, those people. You want to organize something? We get them involved, and it's going to go off.
Really?
They're incredible. They're so connected. I'll tell you all about them.
Okay.
But Rosemary's thought was this. If this drags out into the 2018 elections, right? And she said, if in fact Pence is also found to be dirty, mm-hmm. and he and Trump are bye-bye, but it's at the and the result of the 2018s is that we take back the House and Senate. Mm-hmm. We take back the House.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi becomes president.
Wait. That's true. That's true.
Awesome.
Yeah, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? And you know what? It's funny because I got to give Nancy her due. I know she's catching a lot of hell. And I'm always like, you know, I'm kind of in between where I see both sides to it. I think she's actually been doing a great job. So I mm-hmm. got to give her credit where credit is due. But I also am looking forward to, I should say, because she broke the glass ceiling as far as, you know, what she's doing, and clearly a very intelligent woman. She knows how to keep her caucus connected and mm-hmm. all working together. And so that's great. Sometimes I think that she's a little old school for me. And I'd like to see somebody more like Kamala Harris or personalities like Kamala Harris and Kirsten Gillibrand and even Elizabeth Warren leading the party. Mm-hmm. So like mm-hmm. to me, they have kind of a new, fresh feel where Nancy feels old school. And I'm not mm-hmm. giving her shit for that. I'm not saying she shouldn't be in the position she is, and I'm not bagging on her. I just feel that, you know, the times are changing, and we need, like, the way Kamala Harris is so fucking badass. Although mm-hmm. I am giving it to Nancy now, because she is, like, sometimes I would watch her react to Trump, and I felt that her reactions were lackluster. I felt that she was not strong enough in the face of what we're dealing with. I think that she can be old school, and I think we need, and it's not to berate her or bring her down, and I'm not saying she should be replaced or anything like that. I'm just saying that I am looking forward to a new, fresher Democratic Party with fresh ideas.
Yes, yes.
And people who are going to fresh people. And then also calling, it's important, as I was saying before, it's important to not appear crazy. You know, we all don't want to look like we're just hysterically freaking out about Trump. We have to have some kind of measured response. But on the other hand, I think it's also important to stress, like Hillary Clinton said, he's a clear and present danger. And he is. Yep. I think Hillary Clinton actually is doing a superb job of of talking about him and what he's doing without sounding like she's panicking or freaking out. I think she's
but she's worried.
Oh yeah,
she is very calm. But you know, she has a plan. And watching her on Rachel last week, and just listening to her calmly say, "Here's what I would do."
Yeah.
And it's clearly not what's being done.
No.
And you know, to listen to an intelligent person articulate a plan or a strategy, without tripping over words, without calling people names, without saying stupid shit like Rocket Man and Fire and Fury. I mean, come on. So I think anybody that watched that, including him, Drumpf, you know, does that resonate with him? Who knows? Probably not. He's such a narcissistic head in the clouds weirdo. You know, he's twisted. He's a twisted man. He's deranged. He's all these things. But if we can have people like Hillary and Obama come forward as leaders of the party right now, when we need the most, when we need to be calm, measured, and have a plan, you know, Jerry Brown, who addresses the UN, like, how lucky are we to be in California, knowing that we've got somebody like that who's experienced and intelligent and knows what to do when the shit hits the fan, so to speak. But I want to go back to your thoughts on presidents. Like, you're sure Bernie's running in 2020.
I'm almost sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm,
I mean, I think, you know, they're like going to start campaigning and people are going to start declaring in a little over a year. Right. Yeah. So I think Biden's probably going to throw his hat into the ring. And here we got two old dudes and more of the establishment with Biden.
No, I mean, it's not to say that I don't like Biden or anything. He did piss me off, though, when he criticized and said he could have won.
That upset me, too. I didn't like that. But you know what? Here, let me tell you something. He could have, because he's got a penis.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean,
you know what? It depends on several things. It depends on how effective the Russians were as far as hacking is concerned. You know, I mean, if they were truly able to get into machines and change votes, then it's very difficult for us to say, you know, Bernie would have won or anybody would have won.
Right, right.
So, you know, who knows? It really does just depend. It's very easy for everybody to sit back and say, oh, I could have done a better job. And of course, Hillary is, I will say that one of the biggest problems that Hillary presented was her baggage. And, you know, is that her fault? No, she's just always been surrounded by scandal. And it's been decades of GOP scandal after scandal after scandal and dragging her through the mud. You know, it's and then, unfortunately, she doesn't really know how to effectively campaign. It's like, for instance, when Al Gore was campaigning, he was just like a piece of cardboard. He's figured it out now. He figured it out how to be personable and warm. Mm-hmm. And Hillary didn't.
She's figured it out now, though.
But she's watching not her standing now, it's out like, on
where,
the stump.
There you are.
I know, but she's not out on the stump when she's on a one-to-one interview. Like, I wish she would have done, and I'm not saying this would have saved her. I'm just saying that, like, I would have loved if she would have just done some, like, fireside chats on the computer and just had that calm, you know, talking to people and reassuring them. And I'm not criticizing her because she isn't, she said herself, she's not a natural politician. She, you know, she's been hounded by the media. A PBS special about her and Trump talked about why she's secretive and why she feels she has to keep things private. I get why she behaves the way she does, and it's not a criticism, but it didn't help her. I'm just, you know, it's like sometimes when she, you know, I agree. Like, for instance, she was speaking to some guy from Black Lives Matter, and I absolutely agreed with everything she said, because her whole point that she said was, or that she made, was hearts don't just change when it comes to bigotry or sexism or anything like that. Basically, what has to happen first is legislation. And this is a point that I made in my book, and so obviously I agree with her. We change legislation and then that changes behavior. And then eventually that's going to change hearts and minds. Although you're never going to change everybody's hearts and minds. But her delivery when she said that was a little abrupt. And somebody who feels oppressed going to a leader and being spoken to in a way that she did, which was a little abrupt, I can understand why people were taken aback by that. And I and it's not to say that I completely agreed with her. Everything she said was absolutely true. But she just didn't have that warmth, unfortunately. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's not just a sexist thing to say, because neither did Al Gore. Al Gore didn't have it.
You know, He has it now.
With his boots on.
He
knows how to stand in front of an audience and just show his true self. And she's just, you know, she didn't have that. And that hurt her. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's like, it's stupid to go back and rehash
hindsight.
Like she should have been the president, and she isn't.
Totally.
But you know what? We've only got about 10 or so more minutes. And one of the things that I want to talk about, and I want to try to bring this into every show, is feminism. Because I started Yay. Off on the internet as a feminist, as an outspoken feminist. And it all started with Rock the Slut Boat and referring to myself as a liberal slut. And of course, I've evolved since then, and I've gotten off track with the Trump administration. But I just want to at least touch on one thing before.
But you're still a liberal slut, right?
Of course I am.
Come on,
but
honey.
It's just that's not my main focus anymore.
No.
And it's not to say I don't know what will happen once we can return, hopefully, to a more normal country. I'm always going to be focusing on feminism in some way, but. Right now, I'm just kind of thrown. But not too long ago, I posted an article. I don't know if you read it, but it was, I think it was titled, Why I Let My Husband Rape Me. Mm. And it was very long and very hard to read. And it just keeps haunting me. And I think part of the reason it's haunting me is because of what's happening right now with women in this country and the treatment of women. And just to go off for just 1 second, a friend of mine who I'm not going to say who posted a picture of some horrible young man who is behaving like a predator to her daughter, who is an actress. And so he's doing, I guess there's some kissing scene and he's taking advantage of that. And he's just behaving like a predator. And so the mother is pissed off and she's calling him out. And she said that he's a Trump supporter and he's just a teenager. So it's worrying me because, I see that these angry men are so excited that they finally have this male in the Oval Office who can justify their anger at women. And, you know, and so in this article, it was an op-ed that this woman was just basically, it was just the long and short is she was married to this guy who slowly over time, he wanted sex and he always wanted sex and she was busy with kids and she didn't have time. And when she didn't have time, he would get pissed off. And then he one of the things that he did was he would threaten to watch and he would start watching pornography in front of their children to get her to have sex with him. So, you know, I mean, is that rape? Yes, because she gave her permission and she said, okay. Yes, but it was against really her will. It was to save her children from watching her husband jerk off in front of porn. It was because she was afraid if she didn't, he would hurt her. It was, you know, there was all these reasons that she just felt he wore her down, endlessly wore her down. And eventually she got out. But, you know, there's other articles circulating right now. There's one that said he never hit me. And then there's another one who another article where. A woman talked about being married to an evangelical and how the church going to church and then just being at home and all the feedback that she got from everybody made her feel as if she was definitely, you know, there to please her husband. And if he wanted it, she would just, you know, whether it was sex or anything, she gave it to him. And, you know, and I think there's a lot of that in this country that just isn't, we don't see it. You know, it's private. People don't talk about it. And it makes me sick. And now that Donald Trump is president, it's making it worse. And it's really scaring me. I mean, I'm fortunate. You're fortunate. We both have men in our lives who are not that way. They're feminists.
Mm-hmm.
And they treat us with respect. And thankfully, we were smart enough to not, you know, marry someone who was going to be abusive in any way. But there are so many men out there who put on a certain show during the courting process, if you will. And then once they get married, their true colors start to come out and women feel that they don't have a place to go or they don't know what to do. And this is something that, you know, I mean, I don't have an answer for that right now. But it's something that really upsets me and it makes me feel like I want to do something about that. I don't know. I want to be more than just somebody who says something online. I mean, I'm not going to be starting up, you know, a house for women who have been abused or whatever. But at the same time, I feel like we all have to kind of stand up for those women, especially now because it's getting worse. Who would have thought that you know, in America, we would be going backwards like this. I never thought that growing up.
Well, and I, you know, I wonder if it's, yeah, so many things are going backwards. I mean, that's crazy.
Right, that's,
you know, you watch,
thing.
I watched the Billie Jean King documentary a week or so ago, and she was fighting for things in 1973 that were fighting for again in 2017. It's insane. I don't know how many women, you know, you and I are going to speak up and shout out and, you know, feel like, hey, I don't want that, so I'm not going to have that. You know, it takes two to tango. You're not going to talk me into forcibly having sex with you because you're going to do something gross to our kids. Like, that would never fly in my household or yours. But what are all women, do they feel that they even have that leg to stand on? You know, I mean, how many women feel like they owe it to their husbands to have sex with them whenever they damn well want it?
Yeah.
You know, whether they're tired or conflicted or feeling, you know, like it's against their will to the point where it's, you know, it's life threatening. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I think it's a discussion that needs to be had. You know, you did the Virgin Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
What if you did something about, you know, the diaries of women who have been compromised by their spouses or partners over time and putting it out there? You know, these are important stories that need to be heard, and you never know, people, you know, then you get on a circuit and people are interviewing you about it, and you talk about different examples and you talk about your own examples or whatever. And that gives women the fuel and the confidence to get out there and say, hey, guess what? You've been raping me for 10 years in this marriage. I want no part of it. I'm out.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
that, and then also younger women, if they would be able to understand this, read it, whatever, not get into it in the first place.
Yeah. Right.
It's just, it freaks me out because, I mean, I hate to say this, but, you know, one of the articles that was written, like I said, was by an evangelical woman who learned all this in church, that this is her place.
Oh, well, that's her place.
How do you fight back against that? How do you convince somebody in a red state or even a blue state that's living in a small community where it's all about, you know, evangelical religion, and I say evangelical specifically because I think you know, I know quite a few Christians, Catholics that aren't when I say evangelical, let me just say when I say evangelical, what comes to mind for me is more of an extreme view, even though I know that maybe I'm using that word wrong. So I guess I should just say extreme. To me, it's extreme to think that a wife owes her husband sex.
Or that a wife is subservient to her her spouse in some way, or to a man in this case. You know, like if both parties are not on equal, don't have equal status, then that's a fucked up relationship in my opinion, no matter what. But it's the same as, you know, you can't make a drug addict get sober by just telling them how it's, you know, harmful to them, or look how great it is now that I'm sober, you should do the same. You know, if somebody doesn't want to, I think it's an example thing. And it's also, you know, you have this gift with your writing, and you've got a platform, and, you know, you could tell the stories that maybe women who don't feel they have a voice can't tell for themselves.
Yeah.
And then, and that starts to circulate, and people are like, wow, you know what? Someone just told my story. I mean, you know me, I've been sober for a really long time, and I've been around people who are sober, and we tell each other our stories. And, you know, I've heard my story or stories that resonate with me, you know, that other people's life experiences. And I'm like, whoa, okay, wow, that really, I connected with that. And now I'm going to have the strength. I sound so woo-woo, you know, but you know what I'm saying, Kimberly?
Yeah.
You
I know. You
gather these stories like you did, you know, with the diaries, and you go out there and you share them with people. And I guarantee you, that's how you open people's eyes. It's by example.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not going to be able to go grab an evangelical woman as she's coming out of parish and say, dude, you cannot let your husband run the show the way he's been running the show, right? Obviously, you would never do that. But you can tell the story about the evangelical woman who got sick of the way her husband was trying to run the show, and she beat feet out of there, and now she's helping other women. I don't know. I think women... Here's something that I know for a fact. Women, you were talking about the suffragettes earlier, and they don't quit because we're used to being, and this is not, I'm not playing a victim here, but we're kind of used to gross things happening to us, you know, being marginalized, being objectified, being passed over for promotion, having our period every month, passing, you know, 8-pound human beings through our vaginas, all sorts of stuff that men don't typically go through. I mean, obviously none of the childbearing stuff or they're having the period, but like, you know, men getting passed over promotion because they're men, that's not happening a lot. You know what I'm saying? And so we're just a little bit more tenacious. We're used to it. So fighting is something that we're accustomed to doing. And I don't mean fighting like screaming, yelling, punching, and calling people names. But I mean like standing up for ourselves or maybe having to get a little bit more scrappy to get what we need or want in a professional aspect. But so I think, you know, you round up a bunch of women, like we did in Washington, D.C. and other major cities across the country and world, on inauguration day, we're going to get the point across.
Yeah.
So your feminist attitude and your feminist beliefs and your desire to help people who are being objectified, marginalized, taken advantage of, abused. I mean, let's do that. This is what we do every time we get together now. We're going to figure out a way to further it every time.
Okay. You're so excited. Like your excitement just wears off and comes over to me.
Good, babe. Good. The smart one. Write.
Give me a
break. I'll yell.
Okay. All right. Well, then we're going to wrap this up. And everybody stay tuned who is a subscriber for And Another Thing. But you can support the show by becoming a monthly subscriber at patreon.com/startmeup. You can pledge anything you want. You can pledge $1. That's just $1 a month. And that's like $12.
Pledge $1 million.
Exactly. $1 million would be awesome.
God, I wish I had $1 million.
That would be $1 million a month. And then we've got $5 will get you End Another Thing, which is the segment we're going to do now. And, you know, just supporting indie authors, we appreciate it. So that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to go over to End Another Thing.
Rock
Bye,
on.
Everybody.
Soon be time to go. But it's darker than you know, and those complicated shadows.